Well, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the text that's before us this evening sets forth to us what we might call an agricultural highlight or even an agricultural wonder, because it speaks there in verse 16 of the finest of wheat. The finest of wheat. Have you ever thought about wheat in that way? Sometimes we might speak about the finest clothing or maybe the finest colors or the finest music. And we mean by that the best clothes and the brightest colors and the most beautiful music. So we understand finest, but finest wheat, the finest of wheat, what is that? Some of you maybe know quite a lot about wheat if you're a farmer and you grow wheat. Or maybe if you are a baker and you prefer particular kinds of flour from different types of wheat. I did just a little bit of looking online, and apparently there are at least 6 kinds of wheat, including soft wheat and hard wheat and red wheat and white wheat and variations of those. It's all very interesting to read, and again, some of you maybe have far more experience and understanding of these things. Of course, we all love to see in the midsummer, a beautiful wheat field, all golden brown, waving in the wind maybe, or all ready for harvest, and the combines pulling onto the field. We all appreciate that scene. And then too, most of us consume wheat products regularly, unless we are needing to eat gluten-free or some other limitation. Wheat's in our bread and in our buns and in our pastries and in our pizza crusts and in our pasta, and wheat is in that sense a staple of life. So we know a lot about wheat in an experiential way, even though we may not be able to explain all of the intricacies of it. But now let's think about our text when it says the finest of wheat, the finest of wheat. And the Lord says that he would give to his people, he would have fed them with the finest of wheat. Did you know that? Did you know he means to be so good and so generous? And are we enjoying this wheat, as it were? What's all this about, and how should we respond to it? Well, let's notice 3 things. Notice, first of all, how rich God is. How rich God is. Because that's what this picture suggests, doesn't it? The finest of wheat. In other words, the very best crops, resulting in the very best food there might be. That's what the Lord is offering. He would have fed them with the finest of wheat. God is not the God of low-grade, poor-quality, bad-tasting food. No, the finest wheat is what is on offer by and through the hands of God. How rich, therefore, he is. And what confirms this is how he pairs this reference also to another rich image at the end of the text when he speaks about honey from the rock. Now, we may wonder about that, honey from the rock. We understand honey from the hive, but honey from the rock? On the one hand, it may be a metaphor to describe the way the Lord refreshed Israel in the wilderness, for example, when he brought water from the rock. Water from the rock was amazing, and it was refreshing, and it was life-saving for the people. But let's remember also that Israel came into a land of milk and honey. And there are many, or there were at least many in the past, many bees in Israel, and there was consequently abundant honey. Think of Samson finding honey in the carcass of a lion, and Jonathan tasting honey while fighting the Philistines. There were many bees. And so there was lots of honey. And what's also true is that these bees made nests and hives in holes in the rocks. And so it's literally true that honey came out of the rocks. The people of Israel knew about that phenomenon. At the same time, the way this is put is meant to convey to us how richly the Lord seeks to satisfy his people, richly meeting all of their needs. If the very rocks yield honey, how good everything else must be. the finest of wheat, together with honey from the rock. And Israel knew something of that, or they did in the past at least. Think of when they first entered the promised land, and they found it as Moses described it would be. He described it in Deuteronomy 8 like this: "You will come into a good land," he said, "a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, a land so abundant," Moses says, "you may eat and be full." And so that was their experience. And they came to taste and see that God is good and that God is rich. And obviously the imagery here is meant, first of all, in terms of food and drink, in terms of God caring for the bodies of his people. He promised to feed them, and richly so. In other words, with the finest of wheat. With the finest of wheat. He's rich. And just by the way, how often we enjoy that too, don't we, today? I mean, how much very good food the Lord gives out all of us to eat. Just think of the top quality breads in the stores, for example, together with so many other good things and countless varieties and seemingly endless abundance. Finest wheat, and so undeserved, is on offer today. And it's from God. But with these words, the finest wheat, the Lord must mean more than mere food and drink. Because we are more than bodies. We are not only bodies, we are bodies and souls. Eternal souls. And what is more, life here on earth is so brief, so temporary. And God has made us for far, far more. But add to that the reality that we all have tremendous needs that we cannot resolve. We've got something wrong with us. We're empty and we're needy and we're all in trouble in life. And we can't fix it. And so it's right to see in this reference to the finest wheat, it's right to see it as symbolic of all of the saving blessings that the Lord has stored up and pours out through Jesus Christ. Through him, the Lord God seeks to feed our souls with the finest of wheat. And in that respect, he is so rich. He supplies with an infinite abundance. Just think of the blessings of the gospel for a moment. Think of the way the Lord provides forgiveness of sins. Isn't that something? All our sins, he takes away. He never counts again against us. They're gone. In fact, even more than that, he says, when we belong to him, then he considers us to be righteous before him. Everyone who believes in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God says about you, "I see you as righteous through his Son, on account of his Son," and therefore he accepts us. And we enter into peace with God, and we may live now before the face of God, and we don't die and we won't perish. Instead, he receives us. And he gives us his Holy Spirit to live in us. And we may go through all of life with the Lord our God with us and guiding us and preserving us and strengthening us. And in every trial, he is there to help us and sanctify us. In the verses before our text, the Lord tells about victory over enemies. And if we think of the enemies we face today, including the world, the devil, and sin that still live within, God will help us. And think, too, how we may live with the hope of glory. And we do not need to be afraid to die because it is simply the doorway into eternal life. And think of the promise of the resurrection of the body. That's coming someday. And the dawning of the new life, of the eternal life and world to come. And so in body and soul, perfected and glorified, we may forever with all of God's people live and reign with him in joy and gladness. I mean, what a future God has stored up for his people. How rich he is indeed. And it is all on account of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is all through his saving work, sent as he was by the Father and seated as he now is with the Father at his right hand, and having poured out his Holy Spirit to draw many sinners to him, to be saved by him and to be satisfied in him. Do we understand that it is all through Jesus Christ? Just remember, for instance, the way he described himself as the bread of life. Remember that? John 6. Jesus said, "The Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And then Jesus made clear what he meant when he said further that he was the bread of life. and that everyone who comes to him shall never hunger. Later he says in that same chapter, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And so the finest wheat, we have to say, is the living bread from heaven, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, who takes care of all of our needs for body and soul, in life and in death, in time and for eternity. And he comes from God, and he's given to his people. He's given to sinners like us. And this psalm is pointing to that and pointing to him. And the takeaway needs to be this: God is incredibly rich towards us. And do we understand it's because Jesus Christ not only came into this world, but as a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, that was his experience. Remember how he said that about himself? John 12:24. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it produces much grain. And it is because Jesus came into this world to die, also in our place. And for our sin, it is through him now that God offers to us, sinners as we are, the finest wheat. Every blessing in life comes through the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He became poor, Paul says, so that we might become rich. So God is rich. That's the first takeaway from our text. How rich he is. Secondly, how clearly he calls us. How clearly he calls us. And we say this because our text is not simply a bare declaration, but it comes in the broader context. It comes in the context of the Lord wrestling with his people and issuing numerous calls to them. As we study the psalm, we can highlight several of these calls. For example, in the first place, the call is to hear. To hear. Notice verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you, O Israel, if you will listen to me. We're to hear the Lord. We're to listen to him because he is speaking to us. Already in creation, we know that. Our young people learn that in catechism class, general revelation. God is proclaiming his glory throughout all of the world. Do we have ears to hear? But especially in his word and through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, over and over, the living God is saying, is calling to us. He is talking to us. To you, O man, I call. And my voice is to the sons of men, he is saying. Are we listening? Hear my voice. Listen to me. Let's not bypass this too quickly. How many voices we are hearing all day long, everywhere we go. Voices in the media and through our earbuds. And the latest song or another podcast or the next post or the next tweet. And some are telling and some are teaching and some are singing, some are shouting. And then there are the voices of family and friends and how many words are streaming into our ears and minds and hearts all the time. How many voices we listen to all day long. But in all of that, do we hear still the clear call of the living God? Do we make sure to listen to him? Do we have what Jesus describes in the Gospels as ears to hear? How important it is to keep up regular devotions. It's so easy to drift from the habit, isn't it? Maybe you skip one day, then you skip 2 days. Before you know it, you've skipped a week. You've heard many things, but you've not heard the voice of God. How important to keep up regular devotions. How important also to come to God's house ready to listen to the Word of God as it is read and preached. You know, sometimes parents say to their kids, please listen to us. Sometimes you might say to your friends, hear me, listen to me. Let's realize God is speaking to us and telling us to do exactly the same thing to him. Hear, listen to me. Are we hearing tonight? Are we listening in life? But let's not simply hear him and listen, and that's all. No, as the Lord makes clear in the psalm, the very point of hearing and listening is that we might keep and do all that he says. When the Lord says hear, when the Lord says listen, he doesn't mean notice the sounds of my words and that's enough. Or register my voice and the fact that I'm speaking and, you know, say that's interesting and carry on. Maybe kids do that at times at home, or students with their teachers, or employees with their boss. I mean, imagine dad or mom is talking, or Mr. So-and-so, or your manager, and they're speaking to you, and maybe you look up and acknowledge them for a moment, but then you look back at your book, or you look back at your game, or you look back at your phone, or whatever, and maybe you nod your head, and maybe every so often you say, that's right, I agree, that's good, okay. But meanwhile, you don't really engage what's being said. You don't interact with it. You don't respond to it, and especially you don't do what you're being asked to do. How often that happens? And we can all be guilty of it. Not just kids with parents, or students with teachers, or employees with their boss. It can happen in marriage. It can happen with friends. It can happen, and it happens with God. But the Lord is saying now in this psalm, and to all of us, don't do that. Don't ever do that. No, seek to hear and obey. Seek to listen and do. That's the point. That's what the living God is after. He's after us doing what he says. He's after life change. For example, he seeks to be the only God in our life. Verse 9 of the psalm, there shall be no foreign God among you, nor shall you worship any foreign God. And what he means is that there shall be no one and nothing more important to us than the living God. He must have first place, the preeminent place in our life, in our heart, in our soul. So that anyone or anything that competes for that place, we have to push it down. We have to say, no, you can't be there. God is first. God will be my God and no one else and nothing else. And the Lord is telling us that, and we ought to hear him, and we ought to say, all right, when thou dost search my life, may all my thoughts within and all the words I speak thy full approval win. Help me, Lord. Hear and do. No foreign gods. And likewise, he calls us to walk in his ways. Verse 13, oh, that Israel would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. So what are these ways of which the Lord speaks? Well, we might say everything we find in the Bible, and especially as summarized in terms of trusting in the Lord and turning from sin. Basic, important, and living to serve God and glorify God, and with every one of his commandments, aiming to keep them, to please him and praise him in thanksgiving. We are to hear and to do. And maybe the most important thing of all is to open our mouths and to open them wide. Yes, the Lord calls us also and especially to do that, to hear him and to do what he says, and particularly and especially to open our mouths wide. We find that direction in verse 10. Open your mouths wide. And what the Lord means is to come to him with great expectation and anticipation. Just like birds, little birds in the nest. Soon enough, we'll see those little birds somewhere, maybe. And when you look in a nest full of little birds, all you see is wide open mouths. They open those mouths as wide as they possibly can. They are so eager and ready and hungry and hoping to be filled with food. And it's to be the same with us and God. Except little birds just get worms. We get wheat and the finest wheat. So as we think of all our needs and as we become aware of how empty we are and helpless and hopeless we are left to ourselves, and maybe in view of our sins and how there's so much enmity in us naturally towards God. It may be too in terms of our responsibilities and how overwhelming they can seem. How do I make my way through life in this world? How do I raise a family in this world? How do I go through a trial in life? And so much more. And yet the Lord here is promising throughout to save us and to help us and to lead us and guide us. And he is saying he will be with us to forgive us and renew us. And to enable us, and especially to satisfy us. That's what he wants to do. He wants to make us so happy in him, to reconcile us to him so that we live in holy relationship with him, so that we have focus in life and purpose, and so that we live to be a blessing all that and more. And all we need to do is ask. Open your mouth wide. That means come to him saying, Lord, I've got nothing. I can do nothing. I am nothing. I need everything from you. And I know from your word. And I know through the gospel. And I know for Jesus' sake and by the Spirit, you will give. You will supply all my need according to your riches in glory. Yes, and he will feed us. He will feed us with the finest wheat. He will give us every saving blessing in and through his Son. Open your mouth wide and he will fill it. And the idea is you'll be full. He will fill you full. Yes, most abundant good, even the choicest food, honey from the comb, wheat the finest known, he would pour upon you. And so he will forever satisfy his people. This is what the Lord is saying to his covenant people. This is how he's wrestling with them through this psalm. It's a teaching psalm. It's a preaching psalm. Many psalms are people praying to God. This psalm, God takes over, as it were, and he proclaims his word to his people. And he tells them he would richly offer them the finest wheat. And so he's calling, clearly calling. And notice one more point yet. How searching the way he puts it. How searching the way he puts it. Because notice the text once more. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat. He would have. In other words, he desires to. He'd love to. He would have. But what seems to be the problem? We find it back in verse 11. But my people would not heed my voice. And Israel would have none of me. In other words, the Lord stands ready and eager to pour out his goodness and to give to his people the finest of wheat, all the blessings of salvation, including to be satisfied in him and with him and to live our life so close to him. It's all in him. It's about to be released. He would feed them, he says, and he would feed you and me too. Another psalm uses this same expression, Psalm 147, verse 14. The Lord is the kind of God who fills you, the psalmist says, with the finest wheat. That is what he is like. But so often, this psalmist pointing out the problem is that for whatever reason, we aren't so interested. Verse 11, we are stubborn. And we prefer to walk in our own counsels, which means simply that we'd rather do our own thing. And we'd rather do things our own way. And we think we can take care of ourselves. And we live as if we believe that the food we can find is worlds better than any food the Lord could ever give us. And as a result, we miss out. We take a pass and we miss out. Or maybe even we sneer at what the Lord offers and we miss out. Well, apparently that's what happened to previous generations of Israelites. And we know that from elsewhere in the Bible as well. How many perished in the wilderness, never making it into the promised land, never making it into the land of milk and honey. They perished because of unbelief. And even with those who did make it into the land, how many didn't listen to the Lord? How many turned to idols here and there, left and right, and forsook the living God? How many walked not in God's counsels, but in the counsels of sin and rebellion? In the counsel of the ungodly. For generations it has been the story of many. God offered the finest wheat, but the people said, no, not interested. And today still, people respond this way. Maybe you've seen it in the world. You've shared the gospel with someone, and they say, no thanks. Maybe you've seen it closer to home, among your own family and friends. You've shared the gospel, you've taught the truth, you've laid out the riches that God offers, and the response is, no thanks. Why would I go for that? Anyone saying that tonight? maybe? With your mouth, or maybe not with your mouth, but with your life? And do you understand how sad that is? And for how many that ends up in everlasting sadness? He would have fed you with the finest wheat, the text says. But they would not have it. They did not want it. They never sought it. And so they will be forever hungry. Forever hungry and forever miserable. Oh, for how many that's how it goes. And now we're told this. And why? And what for? Is it not so that we pause and reflect and we ask ourselves, what are we doing? See how searching the way he puts it. He's searching us. The Lord is searching us tonight. What are we like? Do we turn to him? Do we listen to him? Are we hungry for the finest wheat? Or are we just focused on a few earthly and material things? What will it profit a man if he gained the whole world? The whole world. But miss out on the finest of wheat. The Lord offers you every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. What can be greater than what he has to offer? His offering is fine, fine wheat indeed. So much of what the world offers is poor quality wheat, or not even wheat really, compared to what God has stored up and what God will give. Do we want the blessings he so richly offers? Do we realize how desperately we need what he gives? Are we coming to him with mouths open, wide open mouths? Is that evident in the way we live? Close to his word, much in prayer, humbly, earnestly seeking everything from him. Lord, I've got nothing. I can do nothing. You promise everything in and through Christ. Feed me. Is that not the Spirit, the Holy Spirit works more and more in all true believers? And so tonight, congregation, let's be convicted and let's be encouraged and let's be directed to seek the Lord and his goodness. And to seek for that finest of wheat, all so that we might serve him zealously and faithfully and cheerfully and consistently, and so be fed and blessed and strengthened by him and able to carry on through life all the days that we're given until the Lord calls us home. And then think what that will be when someday he seats us at that table where he will set before us an everlasting feast of infinite and amazing bounty and goodness. What will that be like? Isaiah talks about a feast of fat things, Isaiah 25. Fat things and wine on the lees, well refined. Is it too much to say that that feast may also feature bread from the golden wheat fields of heaven, as it were? And then with that mighty spread before us, we'll have to say this and everything else is the finest of the finest of the finest. We couldn't have dreamed it would be so good. And it's all from God through Christ and by his Spirit, freely given to us, even to all who come to him with their mouths open wide. Wheat, the finest known, he will pour upon us. About what we have to say, about that we have to say, how wonderful. How wonderful. Let's not ever miss out. Yes, that not one of us, not one, miss out. Amen. Let us come to God in prayer. O Lord, our God, giver of every good and perfect gift, so rich and abundant in all that you have to offer us, we come to you tonight and we pray that it may be with our mouths open wide, for how much we need you for everything, how much you offer and promise. As we could hear just now, even this, the finest of wheat, the finest of wheat. Lord, with our minds and hearts, we seek to understand what that means, and we pray that we may be able to see how it represents the fullness of salvation blessings, ultimately in and through Jesus Christ. You desire to treat your people so very well. Not simply a few earthly blessings, but everlasting life. And that's so undeserved and so surely purchased through the sacrifice of Christ. Oh God, open our understanding, open our eyes to behold the breadth of your abundance, your generosity, your loving kindness tonight. And as we pray, especially for this new season, Lord, we look to you and cry out to you for help and for provision. And we think particularly of the farmers as they will soon be busy going out onto the fields. Yes, also in our own community and some of our own members who own farms and tend the land. We pray for them, Lord, for your blessing upon them, that you will help them in all the work that's ahead, that you will keep them in your care and give them strength for their responsibilities when there may be long days and even long nights. We pray that you will bless the sowing of the seed and all that goes with it. And we ask, O Lord, for your hand of mercy and for your hand of blessing for the whole season. We pray, Lord, for dry weather, for hot weather. We pray for timely rain and gentle rain, as we sang earlier. We pray that you will protect from disease and insects and things that might damage and destroy the crops. We pray that in the right time you might grant there to be an abundant harvest. We are a people of the day, O Lord, and you teach us to pray for our daily food. And you call us to do our work, our daily work, and we pray that we may do so also in this respect, in dependence upon you. We think too of the wheat that was sown in the fall and is dormant through the winter and will begin to grow further in the spring and into the summer. And we pray that whenever we see the wheat fields, we may remember this glorious text and all that you offer, and that we may seek you and rejoice in you. Grant, Lord, a good wheat harvest, and also corn and beans and fruit and all that may be grown, even now when the syrup is coming from the trees. Lord, we think of all these things and we confess our dependence upon you. And then we pray too, Lord, for the entire economy in which we live. And it's one thing to grow the crops. It's another thing to get good prices for the crops. And what a year it has been with the economy. We think of the challenges that all of us have felt in one way or another with inflation and with global unrest and with supply chains being so tight. And we recognize, Lord, that these things too are in your hands. And we pray for your care and for your provision. We pray too for those who are in some ways responsible for how the economy goes, for those in positions of power and authority, those with their hands on the levers that control interest rates and other things. And we pray they may be given wisdom. And we pray, Lord, that we may continue to be able to buy and sell as needed. We think also of our young people and our young couples as they look for homes to live and for families in providing for their daily needs and in paying for Christian education and whatever else may be before us, O Lord, we look to you to provide. You are our Heavenly Father, and you know our needs even before we ask. Hear us, O Lord, and help us. And in whatever our work may be, we thank you, Lord, that we may have work. And we pray that you will bless everyone in their respective callings and responsibilities, those who work in trades and in businesses of various kinds, those who are in service work, so important to society's well-being. We pray, too, for teachers and administrators and others, and that you will bless each one in his or her work, and that all those who can work may be able to work. And that you may protect us in our jobs and that you may prosper us in our jobs. We live in a fast-paced world, O Lord, and it may be difficult to keep up. And we pray, Lord, also when we can be tempted to overwork, that we may keep all things in balance and in moderation. Help us to labor, not simply for the food of this world, but for the food that endures. And we pray, too, for your blessing on the work that goes on in the home and in family life, especially the responsibility of wives and mothers, many at home all day and every day and very busy. And we pray that you will give them strength and make them to know that their work is so meaningful and so important and so precious in your sight. And together with husbands and fathers, and Lord, to bless our homes and our families. Sometimes there can be challenges in family life, or in marriage, or with children, or in brother-sister relationships, or with parents. Sometimes there can be unrest, there can be difficulty, there can be confusion, there can be hurt and pain. Lord, we pray that you may remember each home among us, each family, each marriage, and with all the needs and with all the cares, that you may continue to supply for us. We pray, Lord, that you will help too when there are special medical needs. We pray for those who are under doctor's care. We pray for those, Lord, who are recovering from surgery or are awaiting tests and treatments. Think especially of Rob Sinke as his radiation will start. And we pray for him and for your blessing on these means to bring recovery. And there are others, Lord, too, with different needs, and we commend them to you. And will you please be with our children and our young people? Help them in their education. And bless them also when there are many, many challenges for them in life. And grant that they may look to you to give them strength. And will you deliver them, too, from temptation and from needless distraction and from anxiety and fear. And grant that they may be helped by your promises and through your covenant and your faithfulness. And may we, Lord, as those who go before and who lead them and train them, show to them a positive and winsome Christian example of how it is to live and to serve you. And will you help them in their studies, and will you bless them as they need to make decisions about what to do in life? Lord, we need solid and steady and shining Christians in so many fields, and we pray that you will bless our youth and that you will place them in different roles and with different callings and different tasks, and that you will bless them in their life. We also pray, Lord, for those among us who are older and or who, because of chronic weakness, are not able to work as before. We pray for those among us who sometimes look on the busier ones and maybe feel sad or envious or wish they could be more involved. We pray that you will help them in older stage of life to see the meaningfulness of perhaps more prayer and more encouragement and more support and also more preparation for their own soul. And Lord, that we may respect those who are older among us, that we may give them the honor that your word also calls us to give to them, and that you may bless them. We pray too that you will remember us as a congregation, and that you will help us in care one for another, and that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that you will bless our work as a church, that you will bless every office bearer, and that you will bless every member, and that you will bless every ministry and outreach. And we thank you for the many volunteers and those who give of their time and energy and skills. And we thank you, Lord, when we may experience among us also the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, and that we are growing into maturity. And we pray that that may be our experience more and more. And that you will bless our witness, our worship, and that you may prosper us, Lord, in this place where you have set us down, that we may be a light in the darkness, and that we may be a means whereby many come to hear the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that you will help us in the sowing of the seed of the Word of God, whether we do that directly in this community or through mission endeavors further afield that we support, with our prayers and with our gifts. We pray that the work of the church may continue, that the kingdom of God may continue to advance, that the knowledge of the Lord may cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And Lord Jesus, as time goes on, your coming draws closer, and we pray that we may continue to live within an expectation and an anticipation of your return, that we may look for it and that we may long for it, and that till then we may be busy for you. We think too of all these things in view of the culture in which we live, and the darkness that's all around us, and the confusion that's marking the spirit of the age, the rebellion that's going on full out, and it can be discouraging and it can be frightening, but we pray, Lord, that we may not lose our heads. We may remember what you have said: in the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And that we may stand fast in the Lord. Help us to be so discerning. And help us, O Lord, to build one another up. And help us to watch and pray. And we pray for those who live, who govern us, who serve in high office among us in this country. And we pray, O Lord, for an awakening among them, even as we pray for it across the land, for a reformation and a revival, and for a turning to you. And we pray these things, Lord, knowing that you are sovereign and that you will fulfill all of your purposes and plans. But help us to wait on the Lord and to be of good courage. And will you strengthen our hearts? And we thank you for your word, which we could consider this evening, and again for the richness that you have revealed concerning yourself, how you will feed your people with the finest of wheat. Grant that we may hear you, that we may listen to you, and that we may do what you say, that we may come to you with our mouths open wide, and that we may receive through Christ all the fullness of salvation, that we may walk in the Spirit and live in communion with you. We pray for that, Lord God. Help us and teach us and lead us more and more into these deep things of the Lord. And grant that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that we may be faithful until the end, until the day also when you might seat us around that marriage supper of the Lamb. How good that will be, how glorious that will be, to live and reign forever with you. And so, Lord, we pray that you will bless this word, that you will hear this prayer, that you will do so for the sake of your beloved Son, again the one who, as a grain of wheat, fell into the ground and died, and did so on our behalf, became poor, so that we might become rich, so that the longing soul that turns to him, he may now fully satisfy. We pray for that for us all, Lord, for us all in the sanctuary or listening online. Remember us and bless us all in your loving kindness. And be with us then as we go from here and into the night, and bring us safely to our homes, and strengthen us for a new day, and forgive our many sins, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.